Thank you. I'd like to call this Clark County Planning Commission work session for Thursday, September 1st, 2022 to order. Tonight we are looking at one item, and our newest planner, is that correct, Bart? Help me out here.
Newest to this team, yeah.
Newest to this team, okay. Bart Ketching will be doing the Zalisco Nahl presentation. So go ahead when you're ready.
Great. Thank you very much, Carl. So you're on the second slide, it looks like. Great. So good evening, everyone. As Carl said, my name is Bart Ketching. I'm one of the planners here with Community Planning. I'm here to give you guys a summary of the staff report for the Zalisco Nahl Annual Review, OLR 2022-00016.
Pardon me, Bart. This is Chris.
Yes.
I don't think that your slides are visible virtually.
Okay. Larissa's going to look at that.
I
real
see
quick.
Them.
I see them too.
Okay. Thank you.
Let us know if you continue to have trouble, Chris. We can shoot you the PowerPoint in an email or something. What, should I keep going?
Yeah.
No. Okay. You can go to the next slide. There we go. So, as we said, this is an annual review request. The actual request is to amend the comprehensive plan and zoning map designation from the current comp plan designation of urban low density residential to commercial, and the associated zoning from single family residential R16 to CC community commercial. The slide that's up on the screen right now gives you a sense of the larger location pulled out from the site. The site is a small black dot in the middle. It's actually two black dots because this is involves two adjacent parcels under separate ownership. The total aggregate acreage is approximately 1.75 acres. As you can kind of see on that map, although it's pulled out pretty far, this is just west of the intersection of Northeast 63rd Street and Northeast Andreessen Road, and it is on the actual northwest corner of a small stub street of 66th Avenue. So that is the general location. You can go to the next slide, Larissa. And I don't know, Larissa, if you can maybe scroll down a little bit so we can see. Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah, we can. That's about as good as we're going to get with this resolution here. So again, regarding the location of the subject properties, the site is comprised of two adjacent tax lots. The site is within the Vancouver urban growth area. And as I just said, the properties are located at the northeast corner of Northeast 63rd and Northeast 66th Avenue, approximately 600 feet west of the intersection with Andreessen. And that is also where the city limit starts. So east of Andreessen in this area is city limits of Vancouver. The slide on the right-hand side, which you'd be able to see a little better in your packets closer up, has some other transportation related items with bus routes and pedestrian bike routes and things of that nature. Next slide, please. And this is page 6. Okay. As I mentioned at the outset, this is a request to amend the comp plan and the zoning onto adjacent parcels from urban low R16 to commercial and community commercial zoning. As you can see from this map, there's a wide range of surrounding zonings around the site, abutting the site itself. We have light industrial directly south, or to the southwest. We have community commercial to the east and southeast. To the west and northwest, we have more R16, and then a variety of more varied city residential zones further out to the east and the south. Next slide, please. So regarding this is review for most of you, I know, but regarding the applicable review criteria for these map amendments and all map changes, including those done through the annual review process like this one, there are specific criteria found in the County Development Code 40.560.010 sub F sub 1 through 5. And so the main purpose of staff's review is to go through the specific criteria as it applies to the request and establish, make findings as whether it meets it or does not meet it. So with that having been said, the first criteria of F is number one, and that would be, as it says at the top there in the bold, the proponent shall demonstrate that the proposed amendment is consistent with the applicable requirements of the GMA and the Washington Administrative Code, the Comprehensive Plan, the County Code, and official population growth forecasts. Obviously, the staff report goes into more detail, but just the highlights, as you can see on the PowerPoint slide in front of you, we've reviewing the application, we've found that the action is consistent with the economic development and urban growth goals of the state GMA. In addition, their request is consistent with the land use and economic development provisions of the WAC and the comp plan as applies to this site. And the vacant buildable lands model, which our department has worked on quite a bit in the last year, supports the assumption, has assumptions that support the request as well. So the conclusion for criterion one, staff finds that it has been met. Next slide, please. For criterion number two, the proponent shall demonstrate that the designation is in conformance with the appropriate locational criteria identified in the plan. Again, the main points to keep in mind with this particular proposal, that for these two sites, because they're directly abutting other community commercial in that kind of hub or nexus of commercial, if you will, when they're added together, they will fall within the 5 to 20 acre size limits delineated in the plan. So the total would be approximately 12.5 acres if these were added. Right now there's about 10, a little over 10 acres of community commercial with the Safeway complex below and the Walgreens to the east. The site is located just west of the major intersection with Andreessen, as I mentioned before. Both of those are arterials, and 63rd is a four-lane minor arterial, and Andreessen is a city street at that point, I believe. In addition, the applicant's plan for an outpatient medical services use in at least part of the commercial, if it were to be rezoned, that use along with other uses in the community commercial creates a wide variety of services that would not be available in the R16 zone. Specifically, medical and dental services are not permitted in the residential zone. So taken together, the applicant's information and our findings indicate that criterion 2 has been met. Next slide, please. Regarding criterion 3, that the map amendment or site is suitable for the proposed designation and there's a lack of appropriately designated alternative sites within the vicinity. As you can see on the slide, the application shows that the site would be an extension of the existing community commercial zoned area, which is almost fully built out and utilized. So that aspect is clear from just looking at the maps. The applicant's transportation impact study and also county staff, public works, transportation staff, transportation analysis demonstrate that compliance with the Clark County transportation policies is met. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. And I'm not sure if Gary has gotten on the call or not, but he's there. So if there's transportation specific questions, we can hold those for Gary at the end. The applicant's materials therefore support the finding that there's a relative lack of alternative community commercial sites in the vicinity. They've provided visual aids, which we are in the application materials, but we could pull up if anybody has specific questions at the end of this discussion. Therefore, staff finds that criterion 3 is met. Next slide, please. For criterion 4, the plan amendment either responds to a substantial change in conditions applicable to the area within which the subject property lies, or sub B, which is the one that this particular application focuses on, better implements the applicable comprehensive plan policies than the current map designation, or sub C corrects an obvious mapping error. So as I just said, the thrust of the applicant's arguments and staff's findings after reviewing the materials align with sub B, and the applicant in particular makes findings in their narrative, which are reasonable in the context of the site, that there's a low probability of residential redevelopment of the site. The proposed rezone would allow for a logically compact extension of the existing community commercial zones, which align to the south and the east, and this would promote a more walkable and livable neighborhood pattern through sprawl reduction and efficient transportation utilization of the modes that are already present. Additionally, there's a strong argument that the rezone would promote additional economic development by providing more varied opportunity for services to the community, and again utilizing the infrastructure that's already there, including the signalized intersection and the streets that already have capacity. Thus, the proposed plan amendment can be found to better implement the applicable plan policies, particularly the economic development and urbanization policies. Therefore, criterion 4 has been met. Next slide, please. Criterion 5 is pretty much straightforward. It just has to do that the application needs to show that there's a full range of urban and public facilities and services that can be adequately provided to serve the proposed designation, in this case community commercial, including water, sewer, storm, transportation, fire, and schools. there's not really any indication that there's a problem. This site is within the Vancouver UGA. It's served by City of Vancouver Water and sewer districts. It is served by Fire District 5. Anybody familiar with that intersection knows that it's already developed out with services to serve the existing buildings, so businesses. So there's no known issue with Criterion 5. And additionally, regarding transportation, as I mentioned earlier, the applicant's transportation impact study and the county's transportation analysis demonstrate that the proposal would not significantly impact the transportation system. And again, there's detailed findings in the county transportation analysis and also lots of supporting data in the applicant's transportation impact study supporting those findings. Staff has no reason to disagree with that, so thus we find that Criterion 5 has been met by this application. Next slide, please. So this is just the summary matrix that you folks are familiar with seeing with these type of applications. We list the applicable criteria 1 through 5, and as I just discussed over the last few minutes, staff has found that this proposal is a yes and does meet the applicable criteria for all 5. And we would at this time recommend approval at the hearing in 2 weeks. And next slide, please. This is just a very high level idea of what the process would be. Obviously, we are here at step one on September 1st for the work session for this request. We have the actual hearing on September 15th, and then depending on workload and county council availability, that would determine when their work session and hearing would take place. As of right now, that could be anywhere from mid-December to early February. We really don't know, but we would hope, what, January?
Possibly. Well, council didn't adopt the last year's annual reviews and dockets until July. So it can't go into effect until July 19th, well, 10 days after July 19th of 2023 is when it can go into effect.
But so the hearing could happen, but the adoption quite a bit later, and we don't have any control over that.
Well, there are additional annual reviews that will be coming your way, and additional items that you'll be dealing with between now and
regarding this.
Yeah. Right. Just the schedule. Oh, this is it for this. Okay. Right, for this.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yep. This is just the first item of the annual reviews we're bringing forward. As of now, there's two other annual reviews that tentative November, but we're still working out the final schedule.
Sure.
And with that, that's the end of my formal comments. So happy to entertain comments, questions anybody has.
So Eldon, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Eldon. So on criterion number one, you said on the buildable land assumption, you said that this met the assumptions. If this went commercial, that would be consistent with the assumptions that were made on that?
I think might not be worded exactly the way we'd want, but so essentially the vacant buildable lands model is saying that both of these properties, since they have a house on it and they're less than an acre, they're considered built. So the model, it's not considered vacant or underutilized land. But since it's considered built and less than an acre, one of the new assumptions is that 95% of those properties will not redevelop. So 5% of those may redevelop. So it's very unlikely that this would be one of those properties that would redevelop. So in terms of the capacity that this property would have in our assumptions, it's very minimal.
So really quickly, what is on there right now? One house on one? I was reading the background. Was there a Mason?
Apologies for not making that.
Yes, sir.
More clear.
No, I just it was interesting.
Both the properties are as a little under an acre, and they both have just one single family dwelling with accessory structures. And that comment in the intro that you were alluding to is just some background. There was some previous code enforcement items, and as far as we can tell from county records, that's all been cleared, and that's not an
issue
anymore. So
there's, for clarification, there's one house on one property.
On each
two houses, one house.
One house on each lot.
Total two. There's not a masonry, whatever I was reading there. They're not. Okay.
No.
That was where the confusion.
Not anymore.
And they're planning on a dental service business there that seems to want to go in there, and they don't have any idea for the other one. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I'm reading off the background.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't go real into that because we were focusing on the criteria, but yeah, the owner on the east property, Zaliashko, owns a, it's not a dentist business, he's a denturist, so he makes dentures, so it's a little subtle difference from a...
I like it. I like having the background, so I appreciate you just kind of...
Understood.
I don't know what was in there, just go, okay, where are we going with this thing?
Yeah, and so the idea was that to bring both properties in, it would make it more economically feasible for a future commercial development, kind of mirroring what's on the east side of 66th. And so the other owner, George Nail, is supportive of that, and that's why he joined the application.
Awesome. So to our hybrid crew, is there anybody out there that have any comments or questions?
Yeah, this is Matt Swindell. And I just would make a comment that anytime we can take something like this and make it create jobs, I'm all for it. I really like what we're seeing here. And this is what it's designed for. This is what we want. So I like it.
Thank you, Matt. Ryan?
Hey, Apart. So could you, I saw the City of Vancouver comments about the property. Could you expand or speculate why they were opposed to the zone change there? I read it, so your opinion, I guess.
And I don't want to get into city staff's speculating on what they are thinking other than what they provided in that letter. And the letter was addressed to the department. It appears to make what they wish would happen with the site, and our staff report is based on what the request is and whether it meets the criteria. The applicant just this afternoon had, because that came in yesterday, so the applicant just had a chance to look at it. They provided a response that just came in right before this meeting, so it wasn't included in your materials, but all that will be part of the hearing materials. And Oliver looks like would like to add something.
Yeah, well, I think the city's mainly focused on the housing, and maybe increasing the density was what they were proposing, which this is a site specific request, so the property owner requested this change. We did, like Bart mentioned, suggest that they include the property to the west, so to block off that area. I think the idea of going to a higher density, it wouldn't satisfy what the applicant's requesting. Sure. Also, it might make more sense to look more broadly in that area to the north. if we were going to do something like that. And again, that was kind of out of the scope of this site-specific request.
Sure. I like that it's a signalized intersection there. That really speaks well for it being a commercial piece of property. Right. And there's a lot of commercial properties in that area with residential that abuts right up to that commercial property and light industrial property in that area. And, you know, and if it was a, you know, a higher density development there, it would probably have the same impact on the neighborhood around it just as a commercial would, as a commercial, commercially zoned property would. One of the, in the application, it said, you know, medical uses, and, but is that, are they held to that, or could they really do anything they want with that property given it's a CC zone?
Anything that would be allowed in the CC zone.
Okay. Just because they said medical doesn't mean they can't change their mind.
Correct.
Next, they've got another year to go before they get the right to use the property.
They were just being very forthright with their motivation, you know, for why they were focusing on this particular site. So that's why that was included at all. But the CC zone has a wide variety of retail and commercial uses that could be applied.
Do you, I haven't looked at the traffic impact analysis or anything like that. How is 63rd and Andreessen doing as an intersection? Is it near failing? Is it doing really good and has still quite a bit of capacity there? I guess.
You want to respond to that, Gary?
Okay, Gary.
Yeah, so the analysis that they've showed us is that, so we look at concurrency by volume to capacity ratios. So we're looking at a level of service 0.9. So they have demonstrated that the existing zoning and the proposed zoning, that they're well below the volume to capacity in those segments. You know, and going into that intersection, which is inside the city of Vancouver, so that's their signal, and what the traffic analysis has said is that with the capacity on Northeast 63rd Avenue, which is a minor arterial, it's a 4-lane minor arterial, so the projected volumes in their model, the assumptions are that the improvements that WSDOT will make on SR 500 in the future will take some of the traffic off of roads like Northeast 63rd Avenue, Northeast 63rd Street. I apologize. No, Avenue, that's correct.
63rd is a street.
It's an avenue.
Isn't 63rd a street?
Yes.
And 66th an avenue?
Right.
I believe so, Gary.
All right.
Hey, Gary, it could be Minnehaha by that point, too. I don't know where it changes exactly from 63rd to Minnehaha.
There's a change that occurs. So it's Minnehaha and 63rd Avenue. So it's the change happens right in that area.
Got it.
So, yeah, one more question. Thanks, Gary. I go through that intersection often. It doesn't feel like an overloaded intersection, but it can get busy. And I think it's on slide 2 or criterion 2. Maybe not. There was a note or a line that said they have evidence that supports the low probability of redevelopment. Maybe you already talked about that when Eldon asked the question, that's the model. 95% of single family homes aren't going to get redeveloped, and that's, I think maybe that was answered already.
That was our primary quantitative evidence, and the applicant focused more on anecdotal evidence from both the property's history, having lain dormant basically for many years. The houses are old and surrounded by new subdivisions, and they haven't been built out. So they make the argument that they're just not feasible to develop the way maybe the city would want them to. So those two items in conjunction are the main evidence.
I don't know if it'd be helpful, but you know, I was curious, just like Carl was, on what is on that property now. If there was a picture of that property zoomed in and what it looks like today, it'd be really easy to say, oh, it's time for something else on this property.
But we can provide some for the hearing that
absolutely
has some more zoomed in.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. I was looking at the same thing.
Yep, I was making notes to that effect already. That's why I have my PowerPoint open here.
Any other questions?
This is all, though. I just had an observation. And looking at the location of the redevelopment, or not the redevelopment, but the rezoning of these two lots in relation to all the residents surrounding this, and we've only gotten one very vocal resident who is opposed, and then a comment from the City of Vancouver who is opposed. Do we expect more opposition by the time the hearing rolls around?
I thought I read two. There was two opposed, and then I the only City saw of Vancouver. Two. One. Yeah. One was. Yeah. I just read the. Yeah. There's two people that are opposed, and one City of Vancouver.
When are comments due?
This is Oliver. I think I saw one residence that is opposed, alleging that the current property owners are already using the site as commercial or automobile repair. That's the one I saw. And then the city comment, which staff already responded to. If there are additional, we will submit that to the Planning Commission. I don't know whether they will be in response to all those comments. I don't know whether there will be additional opposition as we come closer to your hearing. If there are, we will provide that to the Planning Commission. As Bart and Jose alluded to, we are reviewing this application like any other application based on the criterion that is in the in our code, because the GMA goals are so broad, you will find a reason to deny this or a reason to approve it. We are just focusing on our criterion and making sure that we review it consistent with the county code and applicable WAC and other GMA related goals. You didn't see us talking about rural element. You didn't see us talking about property right. You didn't see us talking about public participation. There's so many other goals. Folks will have opportunity to testify before you and also the council. So with that, I hope I'm answering your question, Alden. If there's additional opposition, we will provide that and make that available to the PC prior to your hearings.
Thank you.
To let you know, I'm looking at the website, and we have Margot Rice and so far Thurman Carrick, both are in opposition, and then, of course, the City of Vancouver. So those are the two that I see, and if there's any more, that would be there.
Sure, I haven't looked back. I'm not making an excuse. I have not yet checked. Sonia keeps me informed of all these comments that are coming in, so I would take a look. Thank you.
Thank you, Oliver. No, no more questions at this time.
Okay, gentlemen, any more questions? Okay, great job. And hopefully we can get that little map piece, and I think that was all that we asked for, right? Okay, with that said, are there any other comments? Oliver, do you have any all of our updates.
Thank you, Chair. I know you received these dockets from your clerk, and it changes. We have, okay, we will be updating this tomorrow as we will have additional conversation with some of our staff that have October and November taken. So we will make sure that those topics are still on here. So if we update this, we'll send it out. So let me not talk about it as some of this will change tomorrow. The last thing I wanted to say is that we will be coming to the Planning Commission. It's too early, but we will be coming to the Planning Commission early next year and start engaging you as we and our city partners and the council begins conversation on the next plan update. As you know, that takes more than 2 to 3 years to complete. So we will be starting that process. I don't know yet. Given the fact that the population, which is one of the primary input, given the fact that that will be coming out in late December, this is from the State Office of Financial Management. That's the state that provides counties and provide the state population numbers, and as well as provide GMA counties the population to plan for. That information will be coming out in December. So I'm thinking, and in my conversation with the city today, that we will be kicking off that next update sometime in February or early March is where I'm thinking now. But rest assured, you will be receiving update from county staff, where the council is, where the cities are, and you know what we are doing before we get to the completion. We are required by statute to complete that next update by June 30th, 2025. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. You had something?
Yeah, one more question. I saw on the county council agenda there was a discussion of annual reviews being suspended. Do you know what happened with that, and does that have an effect on the annual reviews that we're looking at right now?
I will let my project manager take that on, and I will then chime in if I have to.
Okay, so that proposed suspension will not affect any annual reviews that are currently in the pipeline. So as you may recall, in September, we usually put out a notice that the application period is open from October through the end of November. What happened was because of the delay in the adopting ordinance this year, pushing into July, we can't, since we can only amend the comp plan once a year, now we're into July of 2023. If we were to accept applications this fall, it would be, the cycle would be to July of 2024, which would put us within 11 months of the June 30, 2025 comp plan update, and we would have a conflict. And so we recognized that we had this potential conflict and proposed suspending the process. So it's going to be a little longer than we wanted because of this delay, but we're hoping that by doing this and starting the process up again after the June 30th, 2025, it'll put us back on more of a 15-month cycle, where now we're like at 22 months because we're going to July. It would only affect people who were thinking about applying this fall, really.
sure if they don't have their application in soon.
Well, and they couldn't because they the application period doesn't even open until October.
Okay.
So there's no one's really, unless people were thinking about it that we don't know about.
Right.
But
right.
We would try to communicate with folks that this could be possible if there were inquiries coming in.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for the update.
Sure.
Thank you, Brian. Just anybody else? One other thing from the chair. I know we're in hybrid, and that is the official that's handed down from council, but I sure like it when you all are here, and if you can, I know some of you, I'm not trying to say circumvent any COVID things that you may feel necessary, but I think it's a good vision for us to try to be here if you can. And so I am just, as one of your fellow planning commissioners, trying to encourage us all to show for our hearings. It's great pizza here you missed tonight, Matt, and some salad. So like I said, we had a good time. I kind of felt like a little bit normal our last meeting. And again, like I said, I don't want to offend or put anybody off if you're staying home because of COVID protocols. I respect that, but I think it's critical that our planning commission is here if we can. And that is just my personal feelings regarding what the look is. So if you can show up next time. Our hearing is September 15th. It's one item, it looks like. Looking like what it is, it should go pretty quick and simple, and it would be good to see everybody. So that is my get off the soapbox, Carl. And thank you again, ladies, for putting on a great meal and making this work efficiently. So with that said, there's any other questions or any other items, we'll adjourn for this meeting tonight. Oh, wait, Oliver has something. Excuse me.
I don't know whether I should be talking about this now, but I can wait until I hear. I did make a request in my budget to see if I can increase the PC stipends. Currently it's $50 to $75. So if I'm successful, I'll let you know.
Well, that was very kind of you, Oliver. Any questions? All right, with that, this time we will officially adjourn, and hopefully, Matt, you get out of here and get going with what you're doing. You guys have a great day.
I'm just saying that you did offend me based on the fact that I couldn't be there tonight. I wanted some of that pizza, too.
It's good stuff. They had great salad tonight, too. Thank you for salad. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Thank you.